you would, take your Bibles tonight and go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. And we'll begin our reading tonight in verse number 34. And we're in a passage of Scripture that gives us the account of the crucifixion. And we want to look at this tonight, and we're asking God's blessing on His Word. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse number 34, the Bible says, "They gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. And they crucified Him, and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched Him there, and set up over His head His accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save Thyself. If Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking Him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now, if He will have Him. For He said, I am the Son of God.' The thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land, unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?' Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man called for Elias.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Now, there's something that I've seen and I see in this passage of Scripture that I found quite interesting. I want you to look with me in verse number 36. The Bible says, "And sitting down, they watched Him there." Who sat down and watched Him? Who was it? I'll show you. Look what the Bible says in verse 27. The Bible says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers." Now, look with me. The Bible says, "They stripped Him and put on Him a robe of scarlet." Verse 29. "When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head, and a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.'" Verse 30, "And they," who is they? The soldiers, you're right. The soldiers. The Bible says, "And after that they had mocked Him," verse 31, "they took the robe off of Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him." Verse 32, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name." Who was it that compelled Simon out of the crowd? Simon of Cyrene. Who was it that compelled him? They, the soldiers. One of the soldiers. "They found a man," and the Bible says, "they compelled him to bear his cross." Verse 33, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha," That is to say, a place of the skull. The Bible says, verse 34, they. Who's they? Who is it that gave him vinegar to drink mixed with gall? It was the soldiers. The Bible says in verse 35, and they crucified. Who was they? The soldiers. Who was it that drove the nails in his hands and his feet? Who was it that suspended that cross between heaven and earth? They, the soldiers. The Bible says in verse 35, they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And the Bible says in verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. Who's they? The soldiers. There's a large group of soldiers. All the soldiers that had done the work of the crucifixion, the soldiers that had plaited the crown of thorns, the soldiers that had spit in his face, the soldiers who had put the robe on him and taken the robe off of him, the soldiers that had hit him on the head with the reed, the soldiers who spit in his face and smote him and said, prophesy unto us who it was that smote you. Those soldiers. Those soldiers. Those are the soldiers that sat down and watched Jesus be crucified. Verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. And then what happens? The things they watch are so fascinating to me. They watch event after event unfold, and the Bible says at the conclusion of their sitting and watching and Jesus' crucifixion, verse 54, look what the Bible says. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching, who is it? Who are they? It's the soldiers, you're right. Watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. What happens to the soldiers? There's a great transformation as they sit and watch Jesus. Things change. Things changed. Their hearts changed. I don't know for a fact if the quotation we find in verse 54 is saving faith that these men had, but I will have you know this. They watched Jesus and it changed their perspective. They got a good look at Christ and it made a difference in their lives. Tonight's message is simply titled this, They Watched Him. They watched him. They who led him away in mockery. They who crucified him. They watched him and something happened. First thing I want you to see tonight, number one, is they watched him take abuse. They watched him take abuse. The Bible says in verse 29, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, a reed in the right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spit upon him, took the reed, smote him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And they came out. They found a man named a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled him to bear the cross. Verse 34, and when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink. Verse 35, they crucified him. They parted his garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Now, I want you to see the progression of this. I really believe that it went something like this because they watched Jesus take abuse. But they watched Jesus take abuse, and the Bible teaches us that he opened not his mouth. He received this abuse, and this chastisement, and this cruel mockery, and the evil of the cross from these soldiers, and he didn't open his mouth. He didn't act like a common criminal. He didn't act like a normal, cold-hearted, evil man. You know what he did? He took it and they watched. They watched him take the abuse. And God began, at that, I believe, that moment, to stir their hearts and change their minds. The Bible teaches us that a soft answer turns away wrath. And Jesus, being the God-man that he was, his actions proved how faithful he was, how wonderful he was, began to stir in their hearts. I believe it started out that this mocking, it started out as something fun. And the first time they put that, when they put the thorns on his head and the blood began to pour down his face, that they mocked him. And they hit him on the head and they mocked him. And I believe as the more they mocked and the more he took it, the less they were enthusiastic about it. I had something happen to me just a little while ago. It works. I was stuck in traffic. You know, you don't have very many traffic jams in Chilhowee, Virginia, but when we have one, it's a good one. And I got stuck in traffic, and I would just snuck down a back road, and I was just going to simply cross Highway 11 and come into the parking lot here at the church. Well, there was a tractor and trailer coming down Highway 11, and I needed to just go between him and another car and come to the church parking lot. And he saw that I wanted to pull out, and I saw that he didn't want me to pull out. And so just to try to make things clear to this Mr. Truck Driver, sir, I just went to him. I said, I'm just going straight across. And it made him mad. Can you believe that? He, in turn, said, I'm just trying to go straight down the road, and I'm not going to let you out. And so, tempted to get angry and ill and do something I shouldn't, I managed to do the right thing. You know what I did? I put my truck in reverse, and I just backed up a little bit, and I said, don't worry about it. But you wouldn't believe it. The old guy, he had no clue what to do when I was nice to him. He was like, he wanted to fight. But when I backed up and I said, no, not going to do it. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, that is nothing like Jesus, but I want you to see something. They watched Jesus suffer reproach. They watched Jesus, who was innocent and perfect and pure and holy, suffer their mockery and this trial of shame. And as they watched him, they began to see that there was something different about this person. There was something unusual about this person. And it is their watching Jesus and his work going toward the cross that made a difference. Folks, I want you to know something. Take a fresh glimpse at Jesus. He bore sin that was not his to bear. He bore reproach that was not his. I deserve to be mocked. He did not. But he opened not his mouth, and he paid the price for our sins. They watched him. Watch Jesus. He took an awful lot for you. Let's honor him with our lives. They watched him take abuse. Number two, they watched him take our sin. Look, the Bible says in verse 45, an interesting thing happens. He keeps getting mocked. He gets mocked by the religious leaders. He gets mocked by the Roman leaders. He gets mocked by two thieves hanging on either side of him. And the Bible says in verse 45, something unusual happens. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. What happens? An amazing miracle. Now, don't forget, there's a group of soldiers that are sitting watching this take place. This is Passover season. And Jesus is going to be the Passover lamb. The Bible says that for 3 hours, darkness came. There's a lot of different ideas about this darkness. It's almost like all of creation gave heed and paid homage to the fact that Creator God would pay the price for their sins, the sins of all men. It was dark for 3 hours. Before Moses led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, before the Passover, it was dark in Egypt for 3 days. Before the Passover lamb was slain in Jerusalem this day on Golgotha, for 3 hours, there was darkness. As the Bible says and teaches us that God laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin. He took on himself our iniquity. And for 3 hours it was dark. What did they watch? They watched him take our sin. Number three, what did they watch? They watched him fulfill Old Testament prophecy. Look what the Bible says in verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He speaks in Hebrews, Psalm 22. It was a psalm that David, many, many years prior, had written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, prophesying Christ's crucifixion. He cries out in Hebrew, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In verse 47, the Bible says some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man called for Elias. They didn't understand what he said. They didn't put the pieces together. The Bible says one of them straightway ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let it be. Don't do anything. Let us see whether Elias comes. We'll come to save him. They didn't understand what he was doing, but I want you to know something. You and I can understand it. And you know what those soldiers watched? They watched Jesus fulfill the Old Testament prophecy of his crucifixion. Oh, I think it's so appropriate. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22, I want you to see what Jesus was referencing. Oh, if these people had their Bibles open. This Psalm, Psalm 22, is available to them. It's available to all the Jews. If they just paid attention to God's Word, they would have prevented a great mistake. But these soldiers watched him fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament. Look with me in Psalm 22. Do you see it? You'll find verse 1 very familiar. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't forget this was written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years prior by David. It's part of the Psalms that Jesus had grown up reading and knowing and learning. And it was about him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse number 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. There's a reference here to night and day, and God had just made it dark for 3 hours in the middle of the day, from noon to 3, the brightest part of the day, God had made it dark. There was not an eclipse or a sandstorm. God turned off the sun. Only God can do that. Or dimmed it down at best. God did it. Look, the Bible says in verse number 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Jesus hung on the cross, despised the people. The Bible says in verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. What had he done? He'd been mocked and laughed at. They shoot out the lip, verse 7. They shake the head saying, verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Is that familiar? That's exactly what his mockers cried. But thou, verse number 9, art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Verse number 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Verse 14, look at it. I am poured out like water. What happened when the spear was plunged into Jesus' side? Out came blood and water. Was any of Jesus' bones broken? Absolutely not. The Bible says all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. He says, I thirst. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Look at this verse, number 16. Do you see it? They pierced my hands and my feet. When was this written? The day after the crucifixion? Hundreds and hundreds of years in advance of the crucifixion. There's historical proof that it was there hundreds and hundreds of years in advance. And God, knowing what would happen, and Jesus understanding what was happening, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was perfectly fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of his crucifixion. Verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. Verse number 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Do you know why these soldiers sat and watched? They sat and watched Jesus, the Messiah, the Passover lamb, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the lion of the tribe of Judah. They watched Jesus perfectly fulfill his role as the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. They watched it. They watched him take our sins. They watched him fulfill Old Testament prophecy. Number four, and finally, they watched him conquer sin. They watched him conquer the law, and they watched him conquer death. What did they see? They watched him. They watched him as a conqueror. Look what the Bible says, verse 50 of our text. Matthew 27, verse 50. The Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. By the way, I want you to know something. No man took Jesus' life. He gave his life. The Bible says he cried with a loud voice. He wasn't out of strength. He still had strength to cry loudly. And when he cried with a loud voice, then the time was right, and he gave up the ghost. He gave his life for the sins of the world. The Bible says in verse 51, and behold, when he gave up the ghost, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. What did Jesus do? I only know what Jesus did. Jesus conquered and completely, perfectly fulfilled the law and conquered sin. Why was there a temple veil? Because the high priest had to go in to the Holy of Holies and offer sacrifice and pray for the sins of the people. But when Jesus died on the cross, the temple veil was rent in twain. And all people gained access to God the Father through our great intercessor, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Folks, I want you to know something. When Jesus died on the cross, the temple veil was rent in twain. It was a miraculous event. It was a big, thick cloth that was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the temple veil was rent in twain, every person has access to God the Father. We are all priests. Those of us who are saved, priests before God, and we have the opportunity and the privilege to access God because of the cross. What did Jesus do? When he gave up the ghost, he conquered sin. How do I get forgiven of sin? I confess it to Jesus. How do I get eternal life? I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and he takes away the curse of sin from me. Jesus died on the cross for my sins and for yours. And these soldiers, what did they watch that day? They watched him conquer sin. They watched him conquer and fulfill the law. Look what the Bible says in our text, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. It was an amazing time. Can you imagine? Can you imagine sitting there? For 3 hours, these soldiers sat in darkness. And then they hear him cry out with a loud voice, and they see him die. And the earth begins to quake. And rocks tore in two. They were just rent in two. What did they watch? They watched Jesus fulfill all the law. There's another time in the Bible when the earth quakes. It's found in the book of Exodus, chapter number 19. Moses, in Exodus chapter 19, has gone to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. The Bible says in Exodus 19, verse 16, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. The mount of God, the Mount Sinai, quaked as the law was presented. And the earth quaked again as these soldiers looked on, as the law was fulfilled and made perfect and completed in Jesus Christ. These men watched Jesus conquer sin. They watched Jesus conquer the law. They watched Jesus conquer death. I think this is fascinating. Look what the Bible says in verse 52. Jesus gives up the ghost, and the Bible says in verse 52, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. What happened? Jesus died on the cross, and people had put their faith and trust in Jesus and already died and already been buried. Their graves opened up, and many of the saved rose from the dead. They rose from the dead, and after the resurrection of Christ, they appeared to many people in the holy city. What did these people witness? What did they see? They saw Jesus conquer death. By the way, the only way that you can conquer sin is by putting your faith in a crucified, risen, and coming again Savior. The only way that you can fulfill the requirements of the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, the only way that you can be declared righteous before a holy God is by putting your faith and trust in a Jesus, the Jesus, the only Jesus, the one who died on the cross and was buried and rose again. The only way that you can overcome death by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins by dying on the cross of Calvary. It's the only way that you or I, or any person for that matter, can have everlasting life and conquer death. Because he lives, we live also. Do you know what these people saw? You know what these soldiers saw? They saw and watched Jesus conquer death, hell, and the grave. The Bible says in verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, they saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. What happened? I can't help but believe that they're sitting there thinking, we may have made a big mistake. We may have really messed up. But I want to tell you something so wonderful. They're sitting there. I've got this mental image. And they start out, they've kind of been watching this whole day kind of regress. I mean, they started out just treating him like they treat other people who they're crucifying. And you know, they were beating on him and giving him a hard time. But he didn't act like everybody else. And the further this thing went, the more they're kind of slumping back and thinking, I don't know if we're doing the right thing. And now they've sat through 3 hours of darkness. Now they've sat and felt the earthquake under their seats. Now they've sat and watch some strange things happen. You know what they're looking? They're thinking, they're looking back in their past, in the past few hours, really, and say, you know, we may have done the wrong thing. We may have not given Jesus, this Jesus, the credit that we ought to have. And I think, after all this, I think he really was the Son of God. But you know what's exciting? It does not matter. I'm talking to you. It does not matter how that you have received or rejected Christ in the past. I mean, I hope that you've not rejected Christ. But if you have, you may be the one that has mocked him. You may be the one that has cursed him. You may be the one that has defied his name, and you may be the one that has turned a cold shoulder and a deaf ear to his pleas. You may be the ill-tempered skeptic. And you look back and you think, maybe he is the Son of God. And you think, even if he is the Son of God, I don't think there's any hope for me because look what I've done in the past. Here's what I want to tell you that's so wonderful about Jesus. That moment you realize, hey, he died on the cross for my sins. That moment, it does not matter what you've done in the past. He died on the cross to forgive all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know what these soldiers had the opportunity to do sitting there having watched Jesus? Do you know what they had the privilege and opportunity to do? They had the opportunity at that moment to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for their soul salvation. I can't help but think, and I look forward to knowing in heaven, we don't know today, but I look forward to finding out in heaven which one of those how many of those soldiers sitting there watching him got born again. Because they watched Jesus Christ pay the price for their sins. Because they esteemed him as the Son of God. You know what else excites me? It excites me to know that you watching tonight, you listening to this message being presented from God's Word, even though you may be one of the people who've done the loudest mocking and defied Christ the most, he is ready and willing and faithful to forgive you your sins and to be your Savior. You can accept him today. Ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Thank him for dying on the cross for you. Commit to Jesus to serve him with your life. He'll save you. He'll change you. He'll give you new life through faith in him, irregardless of the past mockings. You know what you need to do? Just sit and watch him. Sit and watch him. He went through all that shame just for you. Put your trust in Jesus. The Bible says that they watched him. You know what's amazing to me? When they watched him, when they watched him, their bitter mocking became humble faith. And that's what Jesus wants to do in all of our lives. He wants us to trust him as Savior and make him Lord. They watched him. Will you?